for mental, for spiritual.
Clifford, it's so good to be on tape in person with you on this subject. I know before we couldn't show my face, we couldn't hear my voice because I was under contractual agreement. I'm no longer under that contractual agreement. So I can be here in person, and that feels good. And I thank you so much for translating my prior discussion with you on the media and all of that. But today, what I'd really like to talk about is the medicine end, which is my passion and my whole reason for being involved in this, is to try to help people stay as well as they can stay, given the givens. I also want to say something that's very important to my heart, is that I am deeply patriotic. That's all I really want to say. Never thought I'd live to be seeing these times. As you know, recently information was brought to us that's critical in terms of health. So I want to deal with that first, and then we can go back and talk about the other contents of this aerosol spray and the impact to the body, and perhaps some mitigating medicines. We have found out through a very credentialed research doctor that perhaps what we're seeing occasionally show up in our air supply is a fungus. The reason this is so critical is apparently this fungus dramatically compromises the immune system by consuming those nutrients the immune system uses to repair and rebuild. And like every system in our body, the immune system has to keep rebuilding itself. It will wear out, it will wear down, and it has to keep regenerating. If it doesn't have those nutritional tools to do that, your immune system becomes dramatically compromised, unable to deal with any kind of invader. That's why I think we're seeing so many more colds and flus than we've seen in the last 5.5, 6 years, than we've seen in a long time. I know in my clients, these things are like epidemic. Sinus infections, colds and flus. That's on the lighter side. On the heavier side, we're seeing a lot more cancers and some very devastating disease, implying an extremely compromised immune system. Part of that has to be this fungal kind of invasion, because, as I said, this fungus eats the nutrients that the immune system uses to rebuild itself. People say, well, what do you do about a fungus? Well, there's some things that we know that are very good natural medicines for fungal invasions like that. Garlic kills fungus pretty much on contact. The Chinese mushrooms, reishi, shiitake, maitake, particularly in extract form, have been had a lot of efficacy. Caprylic acid, which you can find in any health food store. There are a number of things, and finally colloidal silver, we know, is a major antifungal. So when people are looking at their bodies and saying, why am I always feeling kind of run down and tired? It may be we're being told now that this person is looking at the blood of many, many people, and in almost everyone, this fungus shows up in their bloodstream. So that's something we can take care of. If it becomes something in the lungs, we can do the tea tree oil inhales. We also know that we're getting a lot of particulate heavy metals, all of which not good for the body. And I'd like to just quick run through them, their potential damage to the body, but then also some mitigating medicines we can do. We know that there's some aluminum in this, and we also know that aluminum, unfortunately, can cross the blood-brain barrier. And we know through research it's been correlated to diseases like Alzheimer's. If not so extreme, certainly short-term memory loss. So sad to say, the blood-brain barrier does not recognize aluminum as a toxin and lets it go through into the brain. The good news is, if you have enough what are called essential fatty acids in your system, your brain has the ability to take that metal, aluminum, and push it out of the brain into your hair. And I think that's why so many people who are getting hair analysis are seeing high, high concentrates of aluminum in their hair. It's the brain doing its job trying to get this toxin out. Some good essential fatty acids that you can consider are flaxseed oil, evening primrose oil, and most recently brought to me, very profound, is krill, K-R-I-L-L oil. It's a fish oil that's fairly pure. These essential fatty acids allow the brain to get rid of that aluminum. We also know that barium is part of the mix, and barium, besides being a carcinogenic, knocks pretty much all the potassium out of your body. And I'm seeing in my clients a lot of muscle weakness, a lot of heart palpitations, all related to either a complete loss of potassium or way too low level of potassium. So we know, since we're bringing barium in and it's knocking the potassium out, we need to supplement more potassium in. And I would say, for anybody who's listening to me, the responsible thing would be to say, to share whatever you decide to do with your healthcare practitioner, because if you're on certain medications, it can contraindicate. But these are just general guidelines and information for people, not prescription, not diagnostic. Yeah. There is also apparently some titanium in this mix from your research, again, another heavy metal, and magnesium. And for a long time, I could not understand why that would be a bad thing, because we're always encouraging people, you know, to take some magnesium in. However, my brother, who's a physicist, accidentally gave me an answer that I had been seeking 2 or 3 years, why I was seeing so many blood clots and thick, sticky blood platelets. And it's epidemic now, and constantly running commercials for blood thinners and on and on. Well, he tells me when you combine an aluminum ion with a magnesium ion, it clots the blood. So we have both of those in this mix. My personal choice is ginger root for blood thinning. I take ginger root capsules every day. There's also an herb called ginkgo biloba that also thins the blood. But this is a very important cautionary. If anybody is on a pharmaceutical blood thinner, do not add in any of these other remedies, because you can get your blood so thin that if you cut yourself, your blood won't clot. So it's dangerous. So if you're on any pharmaceutical blood thinner, do not add in ginger root and ginkgo biloba and those kinds of things. But if you're not on a pharmaceutical, these are good natural things you may want to consider in terms of thinning the blood. And then there are some, I get this question all the time. People say, well, what can we do, you know, to mitigate some of this? I mean, it's in every breath I take. That's something I think is hard for people to understand. This is not something previously I could say to people. Please don't eat margarine. Please don't drink tap water. These things are not good for you. I cannot ask people not to breathe. But what I can say, there are things that you can do to mitigate the amounts of it that you're taking in. One thing that you well know I do is when I'm outdoors, I wear a mask. It's not comfortable. It looks silly. I get stares. But I have to tell you, since I've been doing that, I've noticed a big improvement in what kind of symptomology I've had to deal with. Also, there is something, a very good all-natural substance called diatomaceous clay that has the unique property of attracting heavy metals to it, then binding with them and allowing your body to then send it out through your bowel. In most health food stores, you can find it under the name of bentonite. You have to make sure, though, this diatomaceous clay that you're taking in is food grade, because they do have diatomaceous clay at the nurseries, and that's not pure. But if you go to your health store, or if you know somebody who has food grade diatomaceous clay, that is something I do daily to try to begin to remove these metals, because all heavy metals are detrimental to the system. Again, flaxseed oil, krill oil, the omega-369 oils, very important, particularly for brain function during these times. Potassium supplementation. And another epidemic is sinus infections, and that colloidal silver nasal spray I use, and I've had a lot of friends use it, and it's very effective with helping to clean up those sinus infections caused, I'm sure, by all these particulates. I don't know if you know, one of the top respiratory specialists in the United States was recently on the Today Show. He's written a book called something about the breathing crisis in this country. And he told, I think it was Katie Kirk, I don't recall who was interviewing him, maybe Ann Curry, that death or mortality from respiratory disease had gone from number 8 5 years ago to almost number 3. That's huge. That means that the third leading cause of death now in this country is breathing. And one has to wonder what could have happened in 5 years to have created that kind of crisis, is the only word I can think of. So this is something that anybody who breathes, and I'm assuming that's anybody who might be seeing this documentary, needs to be concerned not only for themselves but everyone they love. This isn't like a firing squad where everybody goes down and you get to watch it at one time. This is a cumulative poisoning that will demonstrate in different people in different manners depending on how strong their immune system was to begin with, what their genetics are, and many other factors. So this is something that will demonstrate in a lot of different ways. You're not going to have, as I said, the firing squad effect. But what you will have is over time, more and more debilitated people, more and more people who don't feel well, more and more younger people, which I'm seeing quite a bit of now, in their 20s, 30s, and 40s, with problems that we never saw in that age range, or rarely, I should say, saw. When this began 5.5, almost 6 years ago, 24/7, we know that maybe it's been going on however long, but the 24/7 heavy spraying, during that time, at the beginning I saw mostly older, frail people and infants suffering and leaving the planet. But now it's coming down the old chronological scale here. So we're dealing with people, teenagers, 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, with a lot of debilitating problems. And I know in Albuquerque alone, 5-6 years ago, 6-8% of the children were diagnosed as asthmatic. Today, as of now, it's 70%. It's devastating. These are children. I would say to anybody listening, one of the first and most important things that you can do is start to eat your medicine. Get rid of the junk food, get rid of the empty food, get rid of the zapped food, and begin to eat, if you can, organic and free range. If you can, at least good, whole, pure food. Don't zap it in the microwave. That removes all the good digestive enzymes and many of the nutrients. So start with your diet, because your body is under an insult that it's probably never in the history of man, I don't think, seen before. And in order for you to stay healthy and those that you love, you've got to really begin to pay attention to what you're eating, the water that you're drinking. That's the first line of defense. I'd also encourage people to consider a good all-natural vitamin and mineral supplementation program, because again, our bodies need every bit of help we can give them in these times. You know, Clifford, it's interesting. One of the most frequently asked questions for those who are conscious and aware of this aerosol operation is, is this intended to harm us? And I can't answer that. I don't know. But what I can say is, do they know that it's harming us? Unequivocally, they do at this point in time. And so one who lives in a free and democratic country would want to wonder, why would the people that we trust to care for us, keep us safe, allow this kind of thing to go on? I personally have gone way deep inside and had many sleepless nights and can't come up with any plausible reason why you could, for any reason, harm so many people in such a dramatic way. And so I would say, if you are like me, you love this country, you're deeply patriotic, that take advantage of that freedom that we are given here in this beautiful land of democracy. Make your voice heard. Ask for an explanation. Ask for a discussion, so that we can determine if this is something we want in our air supply. We can't just keep ignoring it. It's not going to go away. It's just not going to go away unless people of consciousness and conscience decide to get up off the couch and do something. And they can decide what that something is. Because if they don't, as they watch the people around them, and they look at their own health, and they see the deterioration, they're going to have to wonder at some point, well, gosh, why didn't I do something when I could?